Phil Vitel, the restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune, is in our Allstate Showcase studio. Hi, Phil. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
I asked you to give us some suggestions on places to eat for Thanksgiving. Some of us like to go out on the holiday.
More and more people go out on the holiday.
Do you eat in or out on Thanksgiving?
Always eat in.
Do you cook the food at your place? What's your deal?
We go about half and half. My wife kind of likes to take over the turkey. Last year, we got kind of experimental because it was just her and me and one of my two sons was in town. So just dinner for three. So I got a boneless turkey breast, and I cooked that sous vide. So I cooked that separately. Which is, you know, the warm water circulating bath kind of thing that doesn't let anything dry out, which is really nice for turkey breast. And then I roasted turkey thighs in the oven.
Oh, nice.
I sort of recombined it. So I never actually started with an entire bird,
right,
but I sort of took bird parts and cooked
them
separately.
How did that go for you?
It worked out okay. The sous vide was just about perfect. That came out great. I'm going to have to adjust the temperature on the roasted thighs this time around.
You dried the thighs out
a little bit.
And then what do you do for stuffing?
We skipped it this year.
Oh my God! Well, then you missed Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
you actually don't get credit for it if you don't have Thanksgiving.
Well, we ate too much and drank too much and watched football, so I think we hit it.
Yeah, those are three of the big four. That's for sure. Okay, so I asked you though, for those of us who like to go out, I told you on maybe off the air that my family and I for years have been going to Lowry's. Everybody gets dressed up. They do the carving station or on wheels that they come by. And it's just a nice family tradition for us. Some of us get turkey. Some of us get prime rib. You can get a combo.
Sure.
And a dollop of potatoes and some stuffing. They do the spinning salads still, as you well know. So that's a big day for us. Where would you suggest, if I was going to go into the city or suburbs, would somebody eat out on Thanksgiving?
I think so. But there are a couple of fun places. Start in the suburbs. One restaurant's been doing it for so long is Prairie Grass Cafe up in Northbrook. That is Sarah Stegner, and she used to be the executive chef at the Ritz-Carlton Dining Room when there was a Ritz-Carlton Dining Room, and she has her own, not just her place, but she's been up there for years, and they do just a lovely multi-course Thanksgiving dinner. And they don't go late, so they tend to be like the last reservation, I think, is around like 8 o'clock or something like that.
8
maybe
in the evening.
Early,
yeah,
the
but
last one.
Nobody's eating at 10 o'clock, huh?
No, and even then, I think they, you know, it's more of an early crowd anyhow. And she has those great pies that she makes for her mom's recipe.
And which place is this? This is,
this is Prairie Grass Cafe in Northbrook.
On Skokie, yeah. Okay, give me another one.
Here's another one. It's sort of in the Lowry's prime rib thing where you take a place principally known for beef. RPM Steak is doing a four-course turkey feast. I mean, it's $85, so it's, you know, keeping in what you would spend at RPM Steak anyway. But I'm sure that's going to be pretty epic.
Yeah, no
that's
kidding.
That's going to be a big thing. A new restaurant that's never done Thanksgiving before on account of not being open before is City Mouse, which is in the Ace Hotel on out in Fulton Market District, 311 North Morgan Street. They're doing a three-course menu for $55. It's 21 for kids, and you know that's a solid operation as well. We talked off the mic about Mighty Nice Cafe, which has been doing Mighty Nice Bar and Grill. I keep thinking cafe. They've been doing Thanksgiving forever, and very very reliable. And then for people who want to really watch in the budget and all the rest of it, Ann Sather's, always reliable.
I was there the other day,
yeah.
You know, for breakfast in one of those damn cinnamon rolls.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm going to be better than this cinnamon roll. I'm not going to eat that much of the cinnamon roll.
I ate about every bite of the damn thing.
You know, I have this theory about cinnamon rolls. Thanks for asking. And it goes a little like this, that the prettier the cinnamon roll or, say, restaurant cookie is, the worse it is. All of that stuff, and then you try and go, it doesn't look nearly as good. It doesn't taste nearly as good as it looks.
Mm-hmm.
Those rolls look good, and they are good.
Yeah.
They've figured that out, the Ann Sather stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's that list. And I don't know, do you mind if I post the list that you generated for me?
Be my guest.
On our
webpage. Check back at ChicagoTribune.com, because I'm pretty sure we'll have a bigger list available in a week or so.
Yeah. In the Tribune today, there is the story, Publican chef Cosmo Goss fired. You mentioned Publican to us not that long ago. I don't remember exactly the context. Maybe that it's going to be part of the Wrigley complex.
The Publican people are going to be part of there.
The Ricketts are doing so much amazing, great work over there. And your colleague at the Tribune, Joseph Hernandez, said Cosmo Goss, executive chef of five Publican brand businesses, has been fired by parent company One Off Hospitality months after an incident that violated a member's privacy and respect. Evidently, there was some sort of picture that was shared by members of the staff, and it came evidently to Goss first. He did not fire the person that shared it with him, and other people saw it, and so when they recently found out about that. Mm-hmm. They had their own investigation, and they fired Cosmo Goss. What do you know about or make of all of that?
Well, I think this some of this stuff is a long time coming, and we're going to see a lot of this in the coming months. As
a lot of what?
A lot of accusations of sexual harassment.
Where?
In the workplace, particularly in the restaurant workplace.
Not just that group, but throughout.
No, in fact, it's important to note that the executive chef was fired not for participating in the sharing of the picture or anything, but by failing to report once it had started.
Mm-hmm.
So in a company like One Off, where you have levels of responsibility and an absolute responsibility for the people at the top to know when something like this is going around, then action has to be taken.
Do you have a feel for what it's like in the restaurant industry? 100 people signed an open letter in Springfield about what's going on at the legislature and has for years. Obviously, we're all talking about the entertainment industry these days. I presume the restaurant business is not immune to this either, huh?
No, I wouldn't think so. It's for many years, and we might argue even still today, it's a male-dominated industry. And when men have power, men have a bad habit of misusing that power.
Well, and think about it. It's late at night. It's alcohol. It's single people sometimes not. A lot of times younger and attractive people. I mean, it's sort of a perfect storm. Nothing excuses or even, should provide for bad behavior. But if you wanted to go hunting for an environment where it might crop up, this would be one.
Right. It's an environment where bad behavior can occur. I mean, substance abuse has been a big problem in the restaurant industry forever, and this is a problem that doesn't get spoken of very often.
So, do you have something in mind though? When you say you don't think we've heard the last of this, are you
anything particular? No. I just know that. Now that there is, there's more safety in numbers. Now there's less of a fear of being stigmatized if you're the lone voice coming out. We're going to hear from more voices.
That's a good thing and a bad thing, isn't it? That people all of a sudden, or maybe we've just for some reason tipped and it's been long coming, but people feel a little more comfortable or a little more empowered to tell the truth.
Absolutely.
About abuse they've been. And I guess that's a shame that they've had to wait this long. But if it's happening, it should be spoken about.
Right, exactly. And it may feel like an avalanche at first, but in addition to shining a light on this issue, and accusing people who have behaved very badly, this is also an effort to change a culture.
Oh.
And that's not going to happen with two or three incidents and a couple of bad boys go away and we say, cluck, 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 good thing that would never happen here.
I think there's a lot of people listening to this who work or who have worked in the restaurant business, mm-hmm. and they go, oh, if you knew the half of it, John,
right.
The stuff that goes on to this day in that workplace.
Exactly.
Let's pause for just a second. You weren't able to join us last week. You had a nice review in the paper, though. I wanted
Thank
to
you.
Ask you about that. The restaurant was not Osteria. It was, give me the name, Nico Osteria.
Yeah.
Nico Osteria. Phil Vitello in our studio. He is the restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune. And let's just pick up real quick on the review you wrote for Nico Osteria in last week's paper, but you weren't able to join us. Just give me the headline on this. Where is it? What do you like about it? What kind of restaurant is it?
It's been around for quite a few years. The original chef was Erling Wubauer. It's part of the One Off Hospitality Group. It's their restaurant, their only restaurant in the Gold Coast area, and it's seafood, Italian seafood focused. And what they do better, I think, than anything is great, is bring in superb quality product, and then they they don't fuss with it too much. You know, they let the pristine nature of the fish shine through. And I don't mean to say they're not doing their job as chefs, but the current chef, the new chef, was at Le Bernardin in New York, which is far and wide considered the finest or one of the finest seafood restaurants in the nation. And so he comes with a glittering resume, and he just has a way with seafood. He makes these crudo plates, excuse me, and every item is dressed just so. I mean, he just seems to know how to accent a fish and still make it seem very, very clean and like nothing's being manipulated on it whatsoever. And yet there's an awful lot of technique that you don't even notice.
You go to this place, Nico Osteria, for fish. Is that the recommendation?
That's
there?
The recommendation. Yeah. It's fish first and foremost, and everything else is a bargain. Nice pastas. No complaint about any of the pastas, but you go there for the fish. You don't go.
It's on Rush Street, and you give it three stars out of four. You say large plates are $17 to $42, so that's slightly expensive, but not too. Huh?
No, he said his goal is to have that range of prices so that I could say I could just walk in, sit at the bar, have a fish entree and a glass of wine, and still be out of there for under $40. Or I could go the whole big fancy route and spend considerably more.
By the way, congratulations to Smith, which gets, two stars from Michelin, right?
It moved
right?
up from one star to two star this year in the Michelin Star Awards, which were announced late last week.
And 25 Chicago restaurants noted as well. 24. Is that pretty good for us?
It's one off our all-time high, which was last year. And considering that of last year's crop, two restaurants actually closed, that's not bad at all.
Read Phil Vitale online at chicagotribune.com/dining. You can also read him in the print edition. They actually put this information in paper.
Yeah, it's the latest thing. You don't have to.
They'll leave it right on your door.
Yeah, if the battery goes dead, you can still read the news because we put it in paper form. Nice. I think it's going to catch on.
Nice to see you, Phil. Thanks for coming in.